I'm so grateful for this opportunity again this morning to share God's word with you. Now, last week, we began our new sermon series entitled 12 Ordinary People, where we're taking a closer look at lesser known individuals in the Bible, those whose stories may not often be preached or highlighted, yet whose lives demonstrate how God uses ordinary people like ourselves to accomplish his plans and purposes. Now, part of the beauty of God's word, the Bible, lies in the tapestry of stories where he transforms and uses everyday people for his glory. And the day when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our own stories, as they were changed by him, also became part of God's larger narrative. It is truly extraordinary how God chooses to work through the lives of ordinary people to fulfill his plans. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's actions point toward the moment he would enter into his own creation in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, fully God and fully man, changed the course of history through his life, death, and resurrection, bringing salvation to countless of people through the ages, through faith in him. This is the central message of the Bible, and we give thanks to God for his unfailing love for us, his creation. The Bible is God's story, God's plan to redeem his creation from sin through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself taught that all of Scripture points to him. The Old Testament looks forward to him. The Gospels document his life, death, and resurrection, and the rest of the New Testament explores the impact of his resurrection on the church and on the world. At its core, the Bible reveals how God bestows his unmerited grace, his unmerited favor. We do not deserve it, and yet he bestows it on us, those of us he created, rescuing us from sin through Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. Our part is to put our faith in Jesus, repent, and believe the good news, and God will use us for his plans and purposes. Now, this morning, we turn our attention to the story of Priscilla and Aquila in the New Testament. Our focus will be on the significant contributions that women made in the early church, how they too played important roles in ministry and nurturing the church community. The example of Priscilla and Aquila highlights the importance of partnership in ministry and the impact women have had on the very beginnings of the Christian movement. You will know from having God's word that women are often mentioned from the time that the angel appeared to Mary to tell her that Jesus will be born to her. There was Mary, there was Anna, there was the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well. There were countless women who followed Jesus, not just men, there were countless women who followed. And there were countless women who were at the cross when he suffered and bled and died for our sins. They were there. And then when the church started in Acts, when the Holy Spirit started moving in the lives of people, he not only moved in the lives of men, but women too. And we will see all through Acts that Luke mentioned so many women that were pivotal in supporting the early church. Now, my hope is to encourage everyone of us sitting here this morning to recognize and to celebrate the essential roles women hold in the church today. Both men and women are called to use their unique gifts for the benefit of the body of Christ. The New Testament consistently portrays women as active participants in ministry, emphasizing that God's call extends to all people. Both women and men are indispensable to the growth and the health of the church. Now, throughout the New Testament, we see women playing integral roles in the story of Jesus and the early church. Christ enables people from all backgrounds to fulfill their calling, pointing ultimately to the equality of all who are believers in him. So the big idea this morning is that God empowers men and women equally to fulfill their roles in the church, showing us that all are called to serve him and contribute to his mission. As we study these passages this morning that we will be reading through, we will consider men and women in ministry the partnership of husbands and wives and the roles of women that have been so important in the early church and in today's church. As I've mentioned, there are many people, many women mentioned in the New Testament, and they have all played an important part. And how wonderful it is to have this example of a husband and a wife working together in ministry. Aquila and her husband Aquila are always mentioned alongside each other. They're always mentioned together. And it's so wonderful that their names also are rhyming words. So it's so nice to say Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila. And we will talk a lot about Priscilla and Aquila this morning. They serve together as a team, which is a reflection of how many husbands and wives should minister together as well. So, let us look at the remarkable partnership of Priscilla and Aquila, starting with their first appearance in Acts. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, reading from verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 18, reading from verse 1 to 4. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Keep your finger in Acts chapter 18. We will carry on reading from there again. Now Paul, after his powerful message about Jesus' resurrection in Athens, you'll recall that he was in Athens at the Areopagus, where everybody goes to speak. And he'd been walking through Athens, and he saw this statue that they had, and it was written to an unknown god. And so Paul went in front of all these people because that's what they would do. They would go and speak into great crowds of people. And he said to them, this unknown God that you guys have mocked here, I want to tell you about the true God. I want to tell you that the true God came down to earth in human form. He was God incarnate. He lived and dwelt among us. And so he shared the message about Jesus' resurrection in Athens. And many people came to faith in Christ, including, and it's very interesting, we're talking about women this morning, that Luke mentions that a woman named Damaris was one of the Greeks who responded in faith and put her faith in Jesus Christ. Now, after he had preached this message, he journeyed roughly 80 kilometers southeast to Corinth. And there he met Aquila, a Jewish Christian from Pontus. Now, Pontus is on the north coast of what used to be called Asia Minor, but which is now Turkey, just there on the banks of the Black Sea. So Aquila was from Pontus, and he had recently relocated from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Their move was prompted by Emperor Claudius's command to expel all Jews from Rome, likely due to tensions surrounding the identity of Jesus and the growth of the Christian movement. Because there were many people of Jewish background in Rome at that time. And so there were Jews who just followed the Old Testament, but there were Jewish Christians who had put their faith in Jesus Christ. And they were in conflict over whether Jesus actually died on the cross and was risen or not. There were disruptions in Italy and in Rome between Jews and Jewish Christians over Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is still a bone of contention between many people today. Because either Jesus really lived and he really died and he was really resurrected, or he wasn't. And we as Christians believe that he was. We believe that he really lived, that he really died, that he really rose from the dead because he was God. Incarnate in the flesh. And so there was tension between people, between the Jews and the Jewish Christians. Now, Paul's connection with Priscilla and Aquila was immediate and practical when he met them. They shared the same profession. They worked together as tent makers. giving Paul both employment and a place to stay. And isn't it wonderful that God used this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, to house fellow believers who needed a place to stay, and here they housed Paul, the great apostle. And it was, they just clicked immediately because they were all tent makers. And it just shows us that those of us that are in ministry doesn't mean that we have to leave our jobs and go into full-time ministry. Some of us are called full-time ministry, but some of us are called to be in ministry, but also to have regular jobs. And Paul was one of those people. Paul was a tent maker like Priscilla and Aquila. So he got employment and a place to stay. Now, this arrangement not only provided Paul with financial support, which he so needed, but also fostered deep fellowships with them as they labored side by side. And they gave him a place to stay because he would go every Sabbath. And Paul was found in a synagogue passionately reasoning with the Jews and the Greeks about Jesus, while Priscilla and Aquila offered hospitality and encouragement to him and other believers. Now, while we don't know precisely how long Priscilla and Aquila had been involved in ministry or the exact circumstances of their conversion, historical clues suggest that their faith was well established. The expulsion from Italy occurred in AD 49, only about 16 years after Christ's resurrection and ascension. If Priscilla and Aquila had already been settled and active in Italy for several years, it further points to their maturity as followers of Christ. Now in Corinth, their home became a center of hospitality and spiritual support, not just for Paul, but for the broader faith community. We pick up again with them in Acts 18, verse 18 to 19, where they sailed to Ephesus with Paul. Luke writes in Acts 18, verse 18 to 21. He writes, "After this, Paul stayed many days longer and took leave from the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchrea, he had cut his hair because he was under a vow. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, 'I will return to you if God wills.' And he set sail from Ephesus." Here again, we see the close association between Paul and Priscilla and Aquila. So much, they were so close to one another that they even left their tent-making practice in Corinth. They might have left someone in charge, but they went with him. They traveled with him to Ephesus. And there they must have been for a while too, encouraging believers as we see them do in the next passage. We carry on reading from verse 24. "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." And we know then from further reading about Apollos that he would end up being quite a learned man who shared the gospel quite frequently, and he was one who really taught the gospel well. Remember that Paul wrote, you know, people were disputing about, "I'm following Apollos," and "I'm following Paul," when Paul was saying that they should follow Christ. So Apollos became a really big name. He knew quite a lot about the gospel and shared the gospel quite well. And it was all because Priscilla and Aquila had invested in him, together as husband and wife, teaching him about the scriptures. So I pray that husbands and wives sitting here this morning will not let this opportunity pass for them to be in ministry too and to share with their children, but also to share with other people they come into contact with. Priscilla and Aquila's influence extended beyond simple hospitality. Here they played a pivotal role in instructing Apollos, a learned and eloquent preacher, helping him understand the fullness of the gospel. This ministry highlights their commitment to nurturing faith and their willingness to serve together as a husband and wife team. Their partnership models the biblical vision of marriage found in Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 33, where husbands and wives are called to work together for God's purposes, raising children who continue the legacy of faith and service by them too marrying, having kids, and teaching them. And so the gospel gets passed on from generation to generation by faithful husbands and wives sharing it with their children, and their children sharing with their children and their children. Husband and wife are supposed to be a team, working together for the gospel, raising godly kids who will in turn marry their own husbands and continue God's plan. I wonder if you could just turn with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. I just want to remind you this morning of this beautiful picture of husbands and wives and how they must work together. Read with me Ephesians 5 from verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. But husbands, remember, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of the body. Therefore, a man shall leave his wife and a husband shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Husbands, we have to lay down our lives for our wives. And I'm sure that when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, which took place a lot later in his ministry, that and because Priscilla and Aquila were part of the church at Ephesus for a while, they would have heard this teaching in the letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And so they were living it out. Next, we see Priscilla and Aquila in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19 to 20. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. So they're mentioned quite a lot in Acts, but then Paul mentions them a lot in his letters to the Corinthians, to the Romans, and to Timothy. 1 Corinthians 16, 19 to 20, Paul writes, "The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca," Prisca was her formal name. Priscilla was like a diminutive name. Like, you know, my parents will call me Jacques, and then some of my friends will call me Jacques. So Priscilla and Prisca is like Jacques and Jacques, okay? So you're speaking about the same person. "The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss." 1 Corinthians 16, 19 to 20 highlights the pivotal role of Priscilla and Aquila's household in the early church. Their home served as a gathering place for believers, reflecting the inclusivity and openness characteristic of a Christ-centered community. Through their hospitality, they welcomed the church into their personal space, demonstrating how ordinary resources can be transformed into tools for ministry and fellowship. Let us not pass by the opportunity to open our houses and be hospitable to brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to other people. When we allow them into our homes, we can share the gospel with them. Aquila and Priscilla, together with the church in their house, send hearty greetings in the Lord. So this greeting underscores the warmth and unity that was present among the believers, and points to the importance of building relationships within the faith community. The act of greeting one another with a holy kiss further symbolizes the genuine affection and camaraderie foundational to Christian fellowship. Now, greeting each other with a holy kiss was a cultural thing from that time. So men, don't be afraid. We don't have to. It just symbolizes the genuine affection and camaraderie that the church had, which is foundational to Christian fellowship. The ministry of Priscilla and Aquila encourages us to recognize the significance of hospitality as a means of serving God's people. By opening their home, they created a space where worship, teaching, and community could flourish. Their example inspires us to consider how our own spaces and gifts might be used in the service of others. Fostering an environment where both men and women are embraced as equippers of other believers and hosts within the faith. Then finally, I just want to, so we've looked at the beginning of Aquila and Priscilla's ministry. We've looked at how their ministry worked out in practice. And now I want you just to see the lasting legacy of their ministry. If you turned to Romans 16, verse 1 to 5. I'm going to read quite a long passage from Romans just now, but I just want to point out something to you guys quickly. Romans 16, last chapter of Romans, reading from verse 1 to 5. Again, I want you to listen for the role of women. So many women are mentioned in this next section. And Paul starts, he finishes off his letter to the Romans by saying, I command to you our sister Phoebe, the servant of the church at Centrea. So Phoebe was a deaconess in that church. And it seems as if she was the one who was taking the letter to the Romans. So he says to them, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Centrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many, and myself as well. Then he says, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Here we see that Paul offers a heartfelt commendation to Priscilla and Aquila, referring to them as fellow workers in Christ Jesus. This designation highlights the deep partnership and shared labor they undertook with Paul in advancing the mission of the early church. Their willingness to open their home for gatherings of believers underscores the essential role they played in hosting a church within their own household. Their story serves as a powerful illustration of how women were vital in the ministries of church planting and hospitality. By establishing spiritual homes and nurturing communities of faith, Priscilla's contributions alongside Aquila demonstrate the significant ways that God uses people, works through women to build up his people. The example set by Priscilla and Aquila encourages us to recognize and affirm the diverse leadership and service found in our church bodies. And as we reflect on their legacy, we are challenged to welcome and celebrate the unique gifts and contributions of all members, both men and women, in fostering a thriving Christian community. Their example reminds us that both women and men are crucial in establishing and sustaining spiritual homes where faith, fellowship, and growth can flourish. Now, I just want to read this next section to you. It's quite a long section, but I want you to listen, church. These are people like each one of us who were part of a church and entered into ministry like a lot of us do. If you're sitting here this morning, church, remember that you are called into ministry. You might not be called into full-time ministry, but every Christian who is part of a body of Christ, you are the hands and feet of this body, this part of Christ's body. So listen to the names that are called out here in this This is Paul writing greetings to all of these people. And all of these people, think about them. They were involved in ministry as you guys are in ministry. They were involved in the church as you guys are involved in the church. Please read with me from verse 6. And notice all the women that are mentioned as well. Paul writes in from verse 6, he writes, "Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the house of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa, women again. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with him. Greet Philologus, Julia, another woman, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with him. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." Isn't that wonderful to see how the church, the early church, was so on fire for being in the gospel with each other and doing life together in the gospel with one another. And then finally, I want us just to look at Paul's last mention of Priscilla and Aquila in 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy was the last of Paul's letters to be written during his second imprisonment. And he still mentions Priscilla and Aquila, showing that they are still busy ministering after all that time. 2 Timothy 4, verse 19, Paul writes, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, and the house and the household of Onesiphorus." Paul's warm and personal greeting to Priscilla and Aquila in his letters, even years after their initial partnership, highlights not only their enduring influence, but also the profound relationships that shaped the church's history. This ongoing mention is a testament to the lasting spiritual impact that Priscilla and Aquila, and indeed all believers, can have through faithful service and steadfast commitment to God's mission. As we consider this example, let us reflect on the legacy we are creating in our own families, our churches, and our wider community. May we be inspired by Christ's example, drawing confidence from His support to live in such a way that our actions and relationships leave a spiritual heritage for generations to come. Let us appreciate and celebrate the diverse contributions of both men and women, recognizing that each person's faithfulness plays a vital role in building up the body of Christ and nurturing a legacy rooted in God's love. Now, as I look over the church this morning, and I see each one of you, and I'm so glad that I get to be in ministry with all of you. Now, myself and Glenn, my full-time minister, remember that you guys are ministers too. You are ministering to one another, and I hope that you are ministering and discipling other people too. And I look over each one of you sitting here, and I can see women who have walked with the Lord for a long time. And I'm sure that many of the women in our church have their own unique life stories. I'm sure if you ask them, they will tell you the stories of God's providence, His faithfulness, and His guidance in their lives. And I thank the Lord for the spiritual gifts that He has gifted each one of you for. And remember, we don't all have the same spiritual gifts, and we're called to use our spiritual gifts for the edification of the church. But praise be to God that we don't all have the same spiritual gifts, because I know I can't make such wonderful baked goods as Auntie Enid can. I'm not as good with counseling as maybe Auntie Jenny and Auntie Marlene are. But praise be to God that each one of us has our own spiritual gifts which we have to use in the church. Now, as we reflect on the examples of faithful men throughout Scripture and in our own church, Let us be encouraged to embrace the unique calling God has placed upon each one of our lives. No act of service is too small. And every faithful contribution shapes the spiritual landscape for those who come after us. The legacy that we leave is not merely measured by roles or titles, but by our love for one another, our devotion to one another, and our willingness to serve one another. May we go forward with gratitude, recognizing the diversity of gifts and experiences in our church family. Inspired by Christ and encouraged by those who have gone before us, let us commit to building a legacy rooted in God's love and in His faithfulness. And together may our lives shine as a testament to His grace, providing hope and inspiration for generations yet to come. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, Abba, I thank you for Edenvale Community Church. Thank you that each one of us as members has a role to play. And when we put our faith in you, Lord Jesus, we became part of your family. Holy Lord God, we were grafted into your family as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for what you did on the cross for us to save us from our sins. And we pray that the little bit that we can do through our spiritual gifts to help one another out in our church, but also to help the greater world, Lord, help us by your Spirit to do the best that we can to help people, to help one another, to love one another, to serve one another, and to proclaim the gospel to those who desperately still need to hear it, Lord, and be transformed by it. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide us in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we think, and empower us to, as we go out into the spaces where you have placed us, Lord Jesus, that, Holy Spirit, you would empower us to open our mouths and to share. That you would help us to use our hands and our feet, knowing that we are your hands and feet, Lord. And that we can make an impact in the world where you have placed us, in the spaces where you have placed us, by doing good work, by loving people, and by showing them Christ in us. Thank you for this reminder, just how important women are to you, Lord. Thank you that you have equipped women in our church as well with such wonderful gifts, and we pray that you would help them to use them, Lord. And help us as men as well, Lord, to support our wives. And may we together work together for your good, for your kingdom, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word with your church this morning. Lord Jesus, you are the head of this church, and we love you and we look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. May we grow to be more like you. May we grow to show fruits of the Spirit. And we pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.